So being the only one with the hardware in my house to record this thing, the soundboard is like over $600 that you need in order to record a Clubhouse. You know, not everybody's got that. So yeah, really excited about today. I called it slow as fast, smooth as fast, right? But really the full saying is that fast is slow, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast, right? So fast is slow, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. So this is one of those sayings that's been like in movies, people, you know, it's like, I remember Mark Wahlberg said it in this movie Shooter, where he's like a, you know, he's like this military guy and he's, you know, turns out like these government people are crooked and he's got to take them down, you know, and he's teaching this guy how to shoot and he used the saying slow is smooth, smooth is fast. So, I actually remembered that. It was funny cause I was thinking about what to call today and I thought about that saying. And then I remembered that Mark Wahlberg said that. So that's actually a very popular saying in the shooting world. If you guys are, as most people aren't, I'm from kind of rural Indiana, where I grew up, in shooting competition. So I used to competitively shoot sporting clays. Patty Schechter's actually, an avid sporting clay shooter as well. You'll see that on her Facebook sometimes. So I was a, competitive sporting clay shooter and somebody, and then I also raced dirt bikes and there's these, but mainly in shooting, you would hear this saying a lot that this slow, if you try to go fast, you're going to be slow. Like you can't be herky jerky. You can't be fast. You got to be smooth. And in order to be smooth, which smooth is fast, like in order to ever get fast, you have to first be smooth. And the only way to get smooth is through like an immense amount of effort and work and energy. And you know what I mean? It's like you can't be smooth without a lot of slow practice. So hopefully this is coming together mentally. You can't be smooth without a lot of slow practice. Once you work that slow, methodical practice, you become very smooth, and smooth is fast. And that's why you'll hear like a Roy, you know, Roy will talk about it on Tuesdays. He said, oh, I met with this guy and I'm online and, you know, for 30 minutes and they give me $900,000. And you're like, how the crap does a guy get on a Zoom for 30 minutes and close 900 grand, right? Well, because he's smooth and smooth is fast. But the only way you ever get smooth is through a lot of slow effort, systems, processes, no repeatable, duplicatable processes, right? Doing the same thing over and over again. So we're going to open up. We're going to talk a little bit about this today. But then after that, we're going to jump into, you know, and today I can tell we got a lot of people on the trip. Well, actually the room's filling up. But our panelists, we got a lot of phase oneers, that are clearly in Orlando right now and in their first meetings this morning. So, but hopefully this concept's taking root, but I was thinking about your presentation, right? When you present now, the financial house video, if you're part of LFIC is fast. Why? Cause it's smooth. Right? It's just smooth as fast. I mean, that thing was written by SNSDs. Every script in it was slowly, right? I remember we all wanted the FNA video. It's like, Dean, get this thing together, bro. Let's go. We want this video. But what? Slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. They took the time. He said, I was talking to him actually in Miami, and he's like, we built the script, and then I talked to Christian David, and I talked to this guy and that guy, and we would, and this lady, and we would rebuild the script and rebuild the script and rebuild the script slowly until it was perfect. And then we launched it. Why? Yeah, but now it's fast because what? It's 16 minutes and there's no wasted time. So that's maybe an example. Your own presentation. I remember my presentation would ramble on for 45 minutes an hour, you know, when I was new, right? Because I was trying to go fast and fast is slow. But then when I learned, you know, I'm going to always tell this story at this point in my presentation. Then I'm going to mention this. Then I'm going to move on to this. And I'm going to methodically do this the same way every time, telling the same stories in the same places. And I practiced that. Then it got really smooth and then it got fast. And all of a sudden I looked down, my presentation was done. It had only been 25 minutes, you know, and I got more done. by sticking to the script, right? Same thing comes for closing, a process to get to the FNA, a process to get to the signature. Same thing with recruiting. So I want to talk about this a little bit with the panelists today about maybe some of these systems, or if you agree that sometimes we got to slow down. If something's a mess in your business, you got to slow down to fix it, get it nailed so that then you can go be aggressive. And then I want to make sure that we have a lot of time today because for people who are listening to come up and then be able to ask things like, okay, so here's where I feel like I'm twitchy. You know, how do I get fast? You know, how do I actually get smooth so that I can get fast? So good morning to the panelists. Good morning, Wendy, Dano, Aaron, everybody. So anybody can kind of pop in. Mike, I would love to hear from you a little bit too about what you guys talked about last week. And if that's something that we need to do another week on it as well. So, but yeah, go ahead, Mark. Good morning. All right. He came off mute. So I thought maybe he wanted to talk.
I got you, Josh. So, ahead, honestly, I think sometimes that we look at taking listening to Dean's process with developing that video. Sometimes we view as taking a step back as a negative thing, you know, everything's, but you know, looking at, I think we've learned this lesson over the last year and a half, with everything that happened in 2020. And I won't lie, like I've worked less in the last year and a half than I've ever worked before, but income production is up. You know, our team size of fully licensed agents is up. Our team cash flow is up, but everybody's working much more on, or I guess I could say much more on purpose, with purposeful intentions whenever they do decide to work, and having a set schedule with that. So I think taking a step back and reevaluating sometimes and slowing down so that you can view everything again, I think that's a huge, I think that's an important part of your business growth.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, I was trying to write Kelly Case. I see Kelly Case is in here, buddy. I'm going to invite you up to speak. Love to hear from this guy. This guy's a stud. Absolute stud. So, yeah, that's great, Mike. I mean, you're working less and making more, but that by putting those systems in place, you're kind of smoothing out, right? I know that Joe Casella has been big on this. Joe, by the way, I'm reading that book, or I'm listening to it. I got to go buy it because it is not a book you can just listen to. I'm realizing really quickly, the Advisor Playbook. That book is messing me up, dude. Woo. That thing is fantastic. So good morning, Joe Casella. I'm hoping you're in a place you can talk right now that I've started to talk about a book that you turned me on to. So good morning.
Yeah. And just like all great things, Josh, and great things in our business, I did not discover that book on my own. It was, I think, on Mark Daniels' call, and that's a guy I said, you need to catch up with, man, especially on the advisory end. And it might've been, Rick Blaze or Blas, I forget how to say his name, who on the call who recommended it. So that's a great example of slowing down, get your processes together. I was, you know, just kind of pulling my hair out at 3-4 o'clock this morning, cause I just woke up going, man, I got to get this together for, you know, what the next thing is we're trying to do. So, I think this is a great time to be having this conversation, especially going into this time of year, and especially what we're talking about, and getting STP together, man. And if we can all get these processes down, we will take off like a rocket.
What are some of the things, Joe, that you've taken out of that book so far that maybe could help the people listening? Like, you know, just some of these bullet points, maybe just a few, if any, are coming to mind that he talks about that might help, you know, the listeners.
Yeah, I think it's talking about a process. I mean, what differentiates you from everybody else, and the fact that you can have a process that creates a lifetime relationship with a client. And, you know, again, say from Mark Daniels, I stole his little timeline thing that he draws out and talks about how you're going to have different life events. And I'm going to help walk you through that and why we're doing this. The other thing I got out of it, Josh, and we might have mentioned this before, but show up with an agenda. Show up, especially at your first appointment, but definitely on the carrybacks. Here's what we're going to cover, and here's what we're going to talk about, and why we're going to do this. have two copies. Give one to the client. You keep one by you. And it's just bullet points. Like, we're going to talk about this part of the process. We're going to talk about creating a plan. We're going to talk about how my compensation works. We're going to talk about, how this is going to play out over time and why we're doing this and what matters. And then lastly, I'll tell you what, man, if you want to gain some confidence from this business or just from working with clients, just let them know. And again, Howard Lashner talked about this on Tuesday. When he has someone introduce someone to him to do an appointment, he wants them to know that it's just going to be a quick introductory call. It's not going to commit you to anything, and it's not going to commit me to anything. So part of that agenda in that book, part of his process is after I meet with you, and if somebody says, well, you know, I'm talking to other advisors, you know, I'm interviewing other people. And I believe he says in the book, well, I'm glad you are. I'd be surprised if you weren't. And I just want you to know, I'm aware, you know, you're interviewing me, but I'm also interviewing you. And part of our process at the end of our session, I think he says something like 48 hours, which is so foreign to us in our business, because it's like, do the first presentation, get a commitment, you're going to get business, and you get back in that house within 24 to 48 hours and close. And in that book, he talks about saying, we're going to take a 48-hour, downtime. Let's think about it. And I want you to decide if you feel we're going to be a good fit. And I'm going to meet with my team to go over what we discussed on our introductory meeting. And we're going to decide if you're going to be a good fit for us. And I'll contact you within 48 hours.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel. Some huge bullet points from that dude. That book, by the way, as Joe had mentioned, he heard it from, you know, somebody else, but it's called The Advisor Playbook by Duncan McPherson, McPherson, and Chris Jeppesen. It's like a dually written book, but it is fantastic. So go ahead, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off of Joe, who he was. Joe said to, and I can't thank him enough, there's two books you got to get, The Game of Numbers by Nick Murray and then The Advisor Playbook. And The Advisor Playbook, you know, it's funny because I didn't necessarily connect the topic today to that book, but it's so dead on. And I'll use a personal story for everyone. We're coming up on 18 years in the business in January. So we've been doing this a long time. And when you're quote unquote building a business and you're chasing all the things that you're asked to chase, I won't dive into that. You know how I feel about that. But you're just kind of going fast, right? Like fast, 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 close, 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 month end, month end, month end. And you're just kind of running and gunning. And, you know, it's just, I'm looking at what, because I wrote down what you said, fast is slow, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And I'm going to humble myself and be very transparent with everyone that we crossed 100,000 in 2012. And here it is, you know, rounding out 2021, and we're still at 100,000 because it's just been this get recruits, get premium month end, get recruits, get premium month end. And when instincts took over to slow down, retool, the predominant message is not that, and you just kind of follow the pack, and we're guilty of that. And only until we got to a point where it was like enough. And there's a great book out there called Necessary Endings. And it's only when you hit the point of hopelessness that things change. When you realize that there's, you know, like, because we fool ourselves and we say, well, if I keep going, then this will happen. And you only, until you get to the point of hopelessness, that you make decisions to change. And the Advisor Playbook and everything that Joe talked about, we started implementing as well. One big one is, who's your ideal client? Like, who do you serve? Because it's very easy to say, well, you know, macho, married kids, you know, that's who I serve. But you can get lost in that as well. So understanding who your ideal client is. And then one of the things that we got to in that book was shrinking your business, right? Slow down so that you can grow. And looking at who do you serve? Like categorizing exactly who you serve. And when we started doing that, laying out a process, writing everything down, thinking on the business. They're a big fan in that book of The E-Myth, which is another book you got to read, and retooling. When that started to happen for us, it's interesting because, right, the mind controls everything. We have better, more appointments, better appointments, because that book hammers referrals, which I think is where a lot of people fall short. And we did a Clubhouse on that. What they cover in referrals there is absolutely amazing. We started to apply that. So we're getting better referrals that fall in line with how you categorize a client. And what Joe said, realizing that you're not going to work and you not only, right, we might not be right for them, but they might not be right for us. And as we slow down, we're having more fun, smooth, and have no doubt that having more fun and having a disciplined, written down process, you speed up because the process takes over. And our income is up, by the way, having applied that.
Yeah, that's fantastic, John. Yeah. It's amazing when you watch somebody who's really good at something. Maybe this is a good example. We've all seen somebody like you go slalom water skiing, you know, you go water skiing and somebody's slaloming or you know, stand up paddle boarding. I know John's really into that. And you see somebody who's really good, right, John, on a SUP board, like really good. They're, yeah. It's so smooth, right? And they're fast.
It's smooth. Then you learn, you know, how they pick the board, right? Because not every board's the same. Like, you learn all the minutiae on how those things actually happen.
Right. And then, you you see how somebody's really smooth, and it's because of PDR, right? Practice, drill, rehearse, you know, which is time on the board. It's time behind the ski bow. It's time in front of your presentation. I don't think we put enough emphasis on how do you really draw out your presentation to explain a 401k transfer to an IRA. You know, are you trying to explain that with a hypothetical, or are you explaining that with a piece of paper in a drawing that's understandable to the average person, right? So like those kinds of things. Another couple of things that to jump on what Joe was saying from the book, the agenda for the appointment. Like if you sat down and told somebody, this is how the appointment's going to go. We're going to talk about this, then this, then this, then this, and then we'll kind of finish up for the day. They're going to be like, oh, okay. And then as they're going, they're like, oh, we're at this point in the presentation. We're nearing the end. You know, it a beautiful thing. People love to know that this binder concept, he talked about giving his clients a binder of basically their plan, you know, a packet. I thought, how many times do I meet a good referral on the phone? Right. So I get a great referral, right? My buddy Mark Foresti says, hey, I've got this referral for you. Okay, and let's say Mark's my client. And he sends me to this person, and I know this person's highly qualified, right? 59 and a half, you know, plus, you know, whatever demographic you're working in. That's just an example. But let's say he's 60 years old, still working at the big plant. He's got the 401k. He's been there 30 years. I know that this dude's got some money, and he's probably in a position to really need my help, right? And then I call him, and it's like, we can follow up and send him some emails, of course, through Sales Team Pro, but why wouldn't you also get $5 worth of material, put together a nice folder, maybe it's even free if you're using, you know, some of your wholesaler products or something like that, and put together a thing, like maybe you have a nice little PDF color printed that you get done up at the print shop that's on you, and your landing page website that they can go visit. And also something on some different products or whatever, and then mail them this nice little packet to their house. So it's like they get an email that's a thanks for talking to me. Here's our, you know, client education series if you want to sign in and see some of the content we've created, and also a physical packet that comes out to the house, or if they're digital or if they're physical, you're sending something to them. What's that sale worth if that guy has $750,000 in investments and needs a term insurance policy? His kid needs a term insurance policy because he's in his 30s and needs to start a pack. And what is that worth? But without systems, we're trying to be fast. What John was saying, I spent the last 4 years pre you guys all getting to know me just running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to go fast, and it was slow and it was frustrating. But by slowing down, you put the systems in place, and then everything speeds up. I want to see if anybody has any last things to say, because I actually want to have a bunch of time. I want to bring people up to ask questions. So if you got a question down there, get ready to start raising your hands about different things. You're like, okay, I feel like kind of not very solid in this area. How do we make that better? How do I make myself faster so I can recruit more, sell more, you know, that kind of thing. So any panelists have anything to say here? Wendy, would love to hear from you. If we could have a female speak up, that would be wonderful. The adrenaline up top here is pretty bad today. Otherwise, I'm going to call on Kristen. I know she doesn't want that. So are you available, Wendy, to say a few words? We will see. No Wendy. Okay. So she's not available right now. So anyways, yeah, if you got a question, raise your hand. And you might be thinking like, what kind of question do I ask right now? Well, there's a lot of things that need to be smoothed out. Like I said, your presentation, maybe your upfront presentation, how you explain licensing to a new recruit. When that's done smoothly, right, and there's systems in place to it, it'll go fast and you'll license a lot more people. Good morning, Wendy. I see you're available now. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to girls golf this morning. So, slow down to speed up, or speed up to slow down. I don't know what you want to call it, but I just think having the systems in place and really looking through and saying, okay, now I've got a new person on board. And are they going to go to licensing first? Are they going to do field training appointments first? It's up to them, right? Because I've got other things to do. And, you know, just getting some feedback from Wanda Archer from the securities trip. So, you know, we didn't make the trip. But I've made 3 trips to Arizona and 2 to Oregon in 3 months, and my income's still up. So I just think that having the systems in place and plugging people into the Sales Team Pro, Dollar Smart's been it's been fun for us. B-Dollar Smart has been fun because I swore I'd never do another presentation again, and it takes away the presentation. And so I'm just going to kind of clock off here. I have to pack up some food and some red wine and some things like that for our golf today and our trip down to the island. But appreciating hearing all you guys. This has been really good. The Advisor Playbook is a good book. You definitely have to read it and listen to it. Because the second time after you read through it, and then when you listen to it, you're going to get 10 different things out of it. So it's one of those things, it's kind of like Think and Grow Rich again, right? So appreciating hearing you guys. Plugging into Mark Daniels and learning about the managed accounts and kind of the mindset behind that, it's been great for us. Part of the packet, if you're managed account license, home office, you know, contact Shane. You know, Tracy put together this great advisor brochure for us. And that's been fantastic. So, yeah, definitely. I love the idea of referral, putting a packet together, getting it out right away. I mean, that's just good. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself and listen in, you guys. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. Hey, good morning, Charles. I see you got a question. We got a few people popping up here. So, good morning, Charles. Well, what's going on? He's on mute. There you go.
How about now?
Yeah, you're good.
Awesome. Sorry, I'll figure this thing out one of these days. I tend to be analytical. Well, not tend to be. That's where I live, and so you probably could call me a turtle. Okay, so I have no problem with the slow part. The challenge is, you know, since COVID, there's so many great ideas coming at us all. You know, it's like the whole new world opened up. You know, like the Advisor Playbook and Mark Daniels and managed accounts and everything. So I'm curious to hear from the panelists as to if you were talking to someone like myself that's basically known as a personal producer, the majority, probably 60% of my income comes from securities, you know, and I haven't hit the ring. I'm probably like the $75,000 level. But the frustration is, okay, how do I prioritize this? What would I pick out first? Should I think in terms of picking out something I'm good at and then breaking it into pieces? I'm thinking I need to be thinking about things not just in terms of how I'm going to present it to the clients, but how can I do it in such a way that a novice looking at what I'm doing can be confident that they can try it. I'd be interested in, I hope you understand my question. How are you guys looking at it in terms of slowing down and systematizing it in a way that the newer person can observe and replicate what you're doing.
I'm hoping somebody's got an answer to that. That's probably a little more analytical than me. Go ahead, John.
I'll chime in a little bit on this. So one of the things that I think that we can do is allow technology to work for us. Like, I was meeting with one of our reps, and we were talking about a process, you know, and one of the things that they said was, I kind of feel stuck. I don't know what to do next. And so as I was guiding them through some of the things that were in Advisor Playbook and using it on them, I had my iPad up and I was taking notes that they could see. So we were writing it down. Well, now that note is a process. So you can share that with that person. You can take that process. You can, you know, you can break that down and start recording things so that it's archived and then saved on a Google Drive. I mean, now you have a duplicatable process because you're going through it and they're watching that. I hope that's what was asked.
Yeah, and I think to expand upon John's point, you can record everything, Charles. I mean, that's another thing. Like, you know, geez, if I'm in a conversation that I know is just like, it was super laden with information, I'll just turn on my voice memo and start recording it holding my phone when I'm standing there talking to somebody. Cause you're just like, I'm not going to remember all this, you know? Well, the same thing goes then for a recruit, right? So if you're talking to somebody and you're working on building your shop, this might be off topic, but you know, I'll tell people like, hey, you're not going to remember this. Why don't you record this on your phone so you can listen to this later?
Hmm.
And they're like, oh, okay. And then it gives them a chance to like it. If it's one of those even flippant conversations, it's not like something that you systematize, but things that you systematize, you want to, for operationally, you want to take anything that, remember what Roy always says, if it's, I'm drawing a blank right now. If it's repetitive, it should be automated, right? So if it's a fast start planner, there should be a video for that, you know, and then, or if it's an orientation, you know, or whatever, you should make videos for those kinds of things. But then you want to automate as much of it as you can so that people can listen to something 4, 5, 6 times without you having to do it that many times, right? And that'll help you move out of that personal producer stage because you can create things that will make it where you can still build your business, you know, in the way you're used to, but you can also then start recruiting and build a team more. Because you're not just doing something 50 million times, you created a process to make it smoother for you. So I don't know if that helps at all.
It does, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I want to jump in, Joshua. I got a
Chuck Futel, bro. You need to get a picture. I didn't know that was you. Well, good morning. Good morning.
I don't even know how to put a picture on there.
So. Well, I'm going to show you how, brother. We're going to get you hooked up. So
maybe boomers unite.
Right.
So I'm a technical guy, so I understand the question a little bit. I think that first of all, there's a good book that everybody should read. It's called The E-Myth. And the E-Myth, the principle of the E-Myth is why small businesses fail. And it talks about why there are some small businesses that survived and ended up becoming very big. It's a great read, but the bottom line is that you have to have a duplicatable system. So when I think about building my business, you have to think about what drives your business. And so two things really drive your business. One is recruiting. And the second one is the back end, being able to get referrals. And you have to get good at doing those things because that's going to help you grow your business. You want to systematize it as much as possible. So those are some suggestions I would do. You know, and then I think that there are some pieces of the business you really have to make duplicatable. I think securities has to be duplicatable. Being an engineer, when I first joined, I'm like, holy smoke, we got all these mutual funds. And I thought I needed to learn all of them, which was stupid. And so what we did was, this is a playbook out of Roy Matlock. I went to see him. He said, oh, no, we just work with one or two fund companies. And he picked out the funds inside the fund companies. And you just get good at that. And once you do that, anybody in a securities license can very easily duplicate that. So the key to our business is best just being duplicatable. And I think that You know, if it's not duplicatable, you really shouldn't do it.
Thank you, Chuck. Great point. Great to have you up here and have you on Clubhouse. Scott, I don't know if you're available to talk about this. Fast is slow usually, but slow is smooth and smooth is fast. If you got anything to mention to this point, I see that you're up here. So good morning.
Hey, good morning, buddy. I think I'm unmuted now. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
I'll just make a brief comment. I haven't heard the whole conversation, but when you think about duplicatable and what you can control, I learned a long time ago that you always want to deal in specifics and work on commitments. So deal in specifics, work on commitments. And so when you think about your process, the one thing that can be duplicatable is how you deal in specifics. And what I mean by that is this. We live in a time where nobody does what they say they're going to do. Nobody does what they say they're going to do. So one of the things that we can do to just really improve relationships is always doing specific. So if you think about recruiting someone, it could be something so simple that says, I'm going to give you a call at a certain time. And what do? You call at that time. I'm going to send you something, you know, via email at this time. And you send them something and then you follow up. And so if it's dealing with securities, it's just the little bitty touches around dealing in specifics and working on commitments that when you can have 6 to 7 to 8 touches around the core meeting, what that does, it builds trust. And when you can build trust within a relationship, regardless if you're doing business together, if you're recruiting someone, that is just something that when you think about it, the number one thing that builds trust is accountability. So as you think about the automation of your process and you think about duplication, the question is, who are you accountable for, and how are you putting those little bitty things in place from a commitment standpoint that you always are following up, you're always doing what you say you're going to do, and when you do that, now your system becomes a process of 6 to 7 touches per client, per prospect, what have you. And the number one thing that people will say, you will know you're doing it correctly when they say to you something to the effect of, you know what, so-and-so never followed up. How many of you on this call have maybe gotten a quote for something, maybe some work to be done in your home? Someone came out, spent time, was going to, you know, provide you a quote, spent all the, and never even followed up, never even gave you a quote. How many people have you talked to about the business that you never called again, never communicated with again? And so that's just my thing. Deal in specifics, work on commitments. The process of duplication is all about your process, and think about accountability, and accountability builds trust.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, that's 100% right on for not being a part of the early part of the conversation, which was when we slow down, we were saying, and we put in place these processes. Then when somebody, you say to somebody, I'm going to email you on the 15th, you actually remember to email them because you have processes that are smooth, and that allows you to go faster because you're running on a system rather than flying by the seat of your pants. And then you're doing for people what you say you're going to do, and that builds respect and trust, and you get more clients, right?
Absolutely.
So good morning, Mark Foresty. What's up, buddy? See you off mute. I don't know if that's on purpose. What's up?
Yeah, no. Hey, man, great conversations here. It was great seeing you down in Miami. And listen, I just wanted to chat real quick and just bring something to light. There was a comment or a question by a gentleman. I don't recall who he was. But I remember several years back being in that same position, maybe more than several years back. But, you know, I was right around hovering, just got the watch. And had a chance to meet up with Jim Bone, and then the following week was Dave and Kelly Harms, and they, you know, they had heard stuff, you know, comments and things of great stories that I had, you know, helped clients with and teammates with, and I think it was Jim who pulled me aside at one of our meetings and said, "Look," he said, "you need to be wearing the ring to get the point across to your team that this is a very viable business for people to change their lives. And he said, you know why you don't have the ring? At that point, I was like, well, and before I could even answer the question, he just told me, you're not doing enough appointments. That's the reason. He says, the funny part is you don't really realize that you're only one or two more appointments per week. You know, if you just do one or two more appointments per week, you'll get the ring in less than 6 months. And I just kind of like swallowed, like, you know, I just at that point didn't really realize the power of our system. But you know what? He was right, because I got so motivated by him telling me that I, you know, it wasn't really hard to add one or two more appointments a week, right? It's just pick up the phone, follow up, elevate your recruiting a little bit, help your teammates, and boom, that happened.
We're losing you, Mark.
In today's world.
And
this security.
You're back. We were losing you for a second there.
Dead spot here. Oh, all right. So, you know, this securities trip I had been following a couple years back. We went on a wine cave adventure with Eddie and Sandra Gonzalez. And his income was right around $275,000. Well, his income's about to go over $700,000. And so there were a few things that we were looking to improve on going into this trip. And so, you know, it's we've heard this so many times, right, in my PFS career. It's the little things that you overlook or that you don't perfect, right? It's just the little things that you can do a little bit more of that have the biggest impact. And so we took a look at two of our systems, our licensing systems and our recruiting systems, because those are the two systems that give you reps under management, which is a real big focus of mine going forward, right? And showing some of these younger people coming into the business who are business focused, how they could have an incredible life using our system. And so, you know, events like this, medium like this, are proof that anybody can do what we do. They just got to take the time to learn and grow. And so at this trip, you know, I spent 3 hours just, you know, I think Eddie was pretty much exhausted when I got done talking with him. But, you know, it's those little, we realize there's some, you know, there's some things that we're not doing correctly. And he told me, he said, look, he says, you're here at this trip. That is awesome. But there's a whole nother level when you get into that upper echelon, life takes on a really different meaning. And if you just listen to Roy, I was, you know, earlier on the call on Tuesday, he was, well, I'm going to be down in Florida and Orlando. I might as well stay the week. You know, life just gets to be different at that level. And it all goes down to, you know, recruiting, licensing. Are those systems working? So, you know, by taking that step back and really fine tuning, changing things, really understanding what focus, because that'll give you reps under management. It'll keep the licensing pipeline growing. And a lot of the people at the securities contest winners, their team is what drives, right, their production. I mean, they do a little, but a lot of those guys, they've got reps under management. And that's what hit me as I'm sitting back. You know, and then the Ed Jones story was just off the chart, right? So everybody things go to work, keep doing what we're doing, and adjust to this changing landscape throughout time. And that's what, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was great to meet you in person. Really, really great to talk to you. And you should be hearing from my buddy, Tony. He told me that he's going to reach out to you. Scott Engelhardt, man, I'm excited to talk to you and have you on here. So hoping you have a question this morning and you're good to talk here. And then after you, we're going to hop over to Cardia and then Dante. So go ahead, Scott, if you're there. If not, we'll jump to Cardia. Whoever comes off mute first gets it. Scott Engel. All right, Cardia it is. Oh, she got bumped. All right, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Josh. Hey, good to talk to you, buddy. Figure out how to take myself off mute, man. Just want to comment first, these calls on Clubhouse and really kind of everything that's going on right now, the collaboration that's taking place and really taking our businesses to a different level is so helpful, because these different perspectives are just pure gold. What I'd be interested in asking you and any of the other panelists are this. You know, we talk about slowing down, and the e-myth has been mentioned a couple of times. Out of the e-myth is he talks about spending time on your business and spending time in your business. And I think we all get so caught up with spending time in our business. Like you said earlier, we're right.
Is it just me or did we lose Scott? Any panelists help me out here? I'm hearing like silence here. I don't know if it's just me. Any panelists?
Did some of this process of slowing down with your new recruits? Because perspective-wise, I don't think I'm the only one that probably has been raised this way in the business. For years, you know, you try to recruit a person as fast as possible. You know, first appointment, go for the jugular on the IBA. And now we've got to schedule 5 to 10 appointments immediately. I've got to have you in the field tomorrow. And oftentimes you get someone on 2 or 3 appointments if you're lucky. And then afterwards, they just kind of disappear. And I think sometimes we're expecting new people to be at the same commitment level that we are. And this idea of slowing down is really intriguing. So I just love to hear some thoughts and comments that anyone might have implemented, you know, kind of in the slowing down process to get more quality work done with folks.
Well, I think we can back it clear up, and then I'll let it turn over to Mike, Scott. But I think we can take this all the way back to Art Williams. I mean, you know, in the 1977, through his whole reign as Supreme Leader, I like to call it, he was like adamant that we didn't do one appointment closes. You know, he was crazy about like sit down, build trust, build relationship, pick up the policies, do a carry back. Like, don't just, because like now we have tech and, you know, and you can do a quote very easily and this and that. People are, I think that you'll go faster if I go right in and I close, I did one appointment and that's faster. But it's like, yeah, but you don't get referrals anymore because you took out the process. So now you've got to figure out how to get more leads, and so you're not faster, you're slower. You know, so I think like that's one example about why Art was adamant, because he knew when you did it slow, you built relationship, and by building relationship, you got more referrals, or you built trust, and then you were able to recruit them across the kitchen table, which his philosophy, right, was client first, recruit second, right? Because then they got that crusade, right? It's like they got pissed about what they were going through and how we were able to be the savior that helped them, and that they could be that hope in somebody else's life. You can't do that when you're going too fast. So that's just kind of my 2 cents on that. Mike Horner, I saw you were going to come off mute.
Yes, sir. So I could just share a story of where we've kind of shifted our focus on who we're actually recruiting now as well. And we have a specific market that we are focusing on. I mean, going back to Art, he said recruit 4 and 5 pointers. Why? Because that's the market. They tend to stay around longer. And that's typically the market we want to be in when we're going into sales. So they're going to have greater success than 1 pointers. Not saying 1 pointers can't win here, but the 4 and 5 pointers are going to, they're going to see greater success in the beginning. So they stay around longer. But I can share this one story. We kind of shifted our focus after the first quarter to really recruiting intentionally and recruiting with a purpose. And what that looks like for our team now is we have a teammate that she's recruiting somebody this weekend that already has their insurance license with the purpose of they're going straight into the SIE. There is no like Well, we need to train you for the first 90 days, and then we're going to start focusing on getting your securities license. But I think, and she's got that person. She has two more people, younger people that are actually coming out of college with their SIE already passed and ready to get fully licensed at the end of this year. Okay, so we're recruiting with that purpose in mind of we want to recruit with a purpose of getting people fully licensed and having that expectation up front. And I think that cuts down a lot of the slop that we used to recruit, where it was recruit anybody and everybody. If they could breathe and they had $99, they were coming on board because we're trying to win a trip. There was an office incentive and all of this. But recruiting with that purpose has helped us really slow down a little bit, not really waste our time in a lot of markets that I don't desire to be in anymore. And I think it's helped us move a little quicker on the licensing process as well. And we get, in my personal opinion, a higher quality of a recruit when they know they're coming on board with the purpose of getting their licenses and helping families. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Dano. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Kind of pull this all together, you know, coming up under Art, you know, you always heard the business is full of contradictions, and that's true. But I think it comes down to really, it's just all about opinions. So kind of going to Charles' tech question earlier, I think it really does kind of go back to that whole, what do you want your business to look like? I know, Josh, you and I, it's a couple conversations we've had, and sometimes you've talked about it. It's like you were doing the massive recruiting, you were doing all this stuff, but it kind of like you hated what you were doing. And so I think a lot of it comes down to what do you want your business to look like? So, you know, take that 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. time to just put your thoughts together and say, okay, if I'm not happy where I'm at or I'm not getting where I want to be, what do I want this business to look like? And maybe it's massive recruiting, maybe it's not massive recruiting. But figure that piece of it out. And then as you go forward with your systems, because there's great systems out there. I mean, you've got the companies, you know, recruiting premium. You've got MPI talking about investing, you know, more focused on investing in managed accounts. You've got, you know, Sales Team Pro is a great tool, but comes along with great training and theory like we're doing today. And then you've got, you know, LFIC, great training. And again, more tools and resources. So use the tools that you like and that you think are going to complement the way you want to build your business. For instance, I use the video from a recruiting standpoint. I let them, you know, look at the white label opportunity. And my thing is, hey, thank you for your interest. I know you might be interested in the business. Check out this video. When you're done, let me know which path makes sense. If they can't complete the video, it's kind of like a precursor for me. I'm not wasting my time with them as a recruit because now I just got fluff. Somebody that's not coachable, somebody that doesn't want it, somebody that doesn't want to do what they're told. And so kind of as a disqualifier, then they get through that. I got a little perspective on then I'm going to spend that time like Norm going through the interview, being very direct. This is what it looks like. And they're either into sinking their teeth or they're not into sinking their teeth. And then if they say, yeah, this is really where I want to go, then we've got that mapped out. This is what the first 30 days looks like, 60 days, 90 days, 120, and so forth. So we're getting them through that licensing process and they know that it's a process. You know, this isn't get rich quick. You got to get your licenses. You got to be a professional. You got to learn the processes that you put in place. So I think it kind of, you know, if you're an RVP, you know, develop that process of how you want your business to look. If you're not an RVP, figure out what that process needs to be so you can become a vice president and have your processes in place. I think that's just kind of back to the beginning all the way through is what do you want your business to look like? Because there's businesses across this company that are night and day of each other. You just got to figure out which one you want. And then don't judge yourself about everybody else that's winning the trip if you didn't. Omar years ago talking with him was, you know, he sat in the back of the room and got zero recognition and wasn't winning any trips hardly, but he was making a crap load more money than everybody else. But, you know, it was all in how he wanted to build his business different. But then, you know, at the end, we all get to that same chosen spot of what we want if we focus on it.
That's great, Dano. And that's kind of back to like what Scott was talking about earlier when you were talking about these recruits, it was deal in specifics. Right. And work on commitments. Like you're telling them this is specifically what it's going to look like and kind of the time frames. And then that's going to give them a mental commitment to do it or not do it. Right. So Cardia, good morning. I want to make sure and get to these other questions. What's going on?
Good morning. I just had one comment, but then I do have a question. In regards to building out your systems, being a to the 100th degree, I need paint by numbers. And I found out that when I did that for my assistant, that made things so smooth. But I'm finding, I don't know if I should really have a process written out for the actual business side for me and for all of my, you know, my teammates. Is that something that you got anyone on this panel that you do? So your systems, do you have it all kind of like already documented so that you could give it and your people can run with it? Or how do you, what is your process in being able to document and deliver to your team?
Yeah. Great question. And after Cardia, Dante, I'll be coming up to you here right after that. Hopefully we'll hear from a couple of panelists on this. That's something I started work with because of the e-myth. I started work on about a year ago where I got like my referral system all typed out in a PDF. I made videos for how to replace every kind of insurance policy. I just cataloged basically over a period of time. I cataloged a PDF video series that said basically in my system, how you go from rep to RVP. Don't DM me about it. I'm not going to give it to you because I don't want conflict with your RVP. Okay. I mean, that's the thing about the business. You know, it's like your RVP's got their plan. I've got mine. You know what I mean? And we don't need to create any guff. So, but I do think it's important, you know, because you really start to understand that if you read the e-myth, the biggest challenge that companies have is they don't have systems. And then everybody's just flying around like, you know, most of us salespeople with our like chicken with their head cut off kind of thing. And we're not very effective. So that's just my opinion. I've been working on systematizing that stuff. I want to see if any other panelists have something to speak to that as well.
We're about hey, to Josh. Find
out. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Dante. I know you said I was going next, man. I just really want to comment on that. You hit the nail on the head as far as systems. You know, number one, she got one for assistant, and you know, you definitely need one for you. You know, this topic of this title, man, is just so brilliant because you gotta, even though you're an A, you gotta almost just slow it down to where it's hard for you to sit there at night, but you process this stuff. I built Columbus Polish, my upline. I built him a website and all the stuff you just said, like everything's on there. You want to know how to recruit. You want to know how to do the beneficiary rollovers, emergency contacts. You want to know how to call people. You know, you want to know what to say, because if I taught everybody on here how to do that, it's 107 people on here. If I took my month and started day one and talked to everybody individually, I'll have no time to really go build a business because I'm doing it one-on-one. Zoom world and the pandemic's kind of opened this stuff up for us to where it's the KT, you know, Zoom is the new KT. And, you know, you gotta have a system to be able to, what are you going to say with a new recruit? What's the process to recruit? Somebody talked about licensing, securities, you know, Chuck talked about, you know, making that simplified. All of that stuff has to be simplified. And then at the end of the day, when you hand it off to somebody, it's not a mom and pop organization, because if I'm building a mom and pop shop, I don't have nothing written down. I'm an A personality though. I could walk around my store and see what I need. Josh, he got a system because he want to build a chain. And so from day one, like Josh said, he's sitting down and he writing down everything, because tomorrow when he go open up that new store, they don't have to second guess it. But if something happens to me and my mom and pop shop, that business pretty much is gone, because now somebody got to go in there and see the mistakes, but they don't know the mistakes because I'm not there to tell them the mistakes. And then they don't know how I do the books. They don't know how I handle the money. But when you got systems in place, man, then you hire people to run those systems. That's when you start elevating to the next level. So, and like Josh said, you know, make sure your RVP should have a system, and just make sure you talk to your RVP and find out exactly what that is, because I don't think anybody in primary was like just handed it. Like, here, Josh, you can have RVP. I think they work for it to be able to go put that stuff in place. Art called it your own personal management philosophy. And you got to have systems in place, because systems run the business. That's all I got on that answer. Hope that makes sense.
That's great, Dante. Yeah, it's really good. You know, we were talking about a binder earlier for your clients, right? Well, it's along the same lines. You know, I have friends who own franchises in McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, everything is systematized. It's not just systematized for the kid at the fry machine. It's systematized for the franchise owner. You know, it's all spelled out in order to make quicker duplication, you know, so that you can operate and move smoother. So for last point, Rockford, want to hear from you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time. Comment on that. I read a blog a while back that really opened my eyes. It was about systems. I think it was actually on the blog called The Art of Manliness. And it was about being anti-fragile. And so they're talking about systems and processes and corporations, organizations. And a big reason a lot of organizations and corporations fail is they might come up with a process or a system, but it's too rigid. It doesn't allow for flexibility. It doesn't allow for changes in the marketplace or changes in technology, changes in personnel. So, you know, imagine all the people in Primerica in the last, you know, 2 years who had a system based on, you know, getting people in person and, you know, all that, and they couldn't adapt to Zoom. Their business failed, right? But everyone who is able to adapt and make their system and their process flexible has thrived. And I think the proof is how many more, you know, million-dollar earners there have been since the pandemic. And so, you know, whether you've got a system for clients, a system for referral, system for definitely training other people, it's absolutely important to have that for continuity. But I think it's also really important to allow flexibility. And I'm definitely one of those people that could probably, you know, over-systematize myself and everything else. And so that was just a great reminder that, okay, you know what? We're going to make a process. It's going to be kind of a flow chart, but we're going to allow for, you know, those oh crap moments to happen, or we're going to allow for a little bit of personality. We're going to allow for different things there. So that it, you know, moves and flexes with what's, you know, with what's going on. Like the, when they go to build buildings that are earthquake proof, they make them flexible, right? So they can kind of weave, and weather that damage instead of being so rigid that they eventually collapse. So whatever your system is, you know, make sure that it's something that can adapt and, isn't overly rigid for the people in your group.
Yeah, that's great, Rockford. Yeah, whatever your system is, make it a PDF, right? Because that thing can be edited, right? I mean, I 100% what a great last point, because, you know, I think the name that Dean came up with, or whoever coined it, though it's kind of Dean's baby, is LFIC, right? And we all say LFIC, LFIC. Well, it's like, what does it mean? Well, it's Leaders for Innovation and Change, which would mean as we innovate, we have to change, right? Our software will change. Our, you know, our systems change. The process by which we communicate with others change. I remember when texting became a thing, and my RVP was like all upset because I was texting people, you know, and I was like, why don't you call them? And it's like, well, I don't know. They seem to answer these texts pretty quick, you know, and that kind of thing. Well, Leaders for Innovation and Change, you know, this isn't an LFIC call, but we've got to change. You know, the STP is always innovating so that we're changing new campaigns that are up to date with the things that are going on right now in the spaces that we are working every day. So thank you to all the panelists, as always. So glad to be back. We will be live next Friday. It won't be recorded, but I'll be live from Orlando. Really excited about next week. As always, thank you to everybody. You guys are all wonderful. And the best leaders in this company, I think, are the people who are on this kind of call, just pouring into people, collaborating with others, working on growing this thing so that we can all get better faster. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.